On The Last Fresh Air, composer Steve Reich talked about his composition Different Trains, which was commissioned for the Kronos Quartet and is recorded on his new album. Today we listen to and talk about the other piece on this new record. It's called Electric Counterpoint, and it was commissioned by the Brooklyn Academy of Music's Next Wave Festival for jazz guitarist Pat Metheny. It's the third in a series of works Reich has written in which soloists play over pre-recorded tapes of themselves. Now, how did you come to write a piece for Pat Metheny?
Well, what happened was I had written these two earlier pieces for soloist Ransom Wilson playing flute and for Richard Stolzman playing clarinet, where they recorded many tracks and then played against them solo. And having done this, I was approached by various classical guitar players saying, you know, gee, what you do would be great for pluck guitar sound. I said, you know, you're right. But in the back of my mind was this reserve thinking, Josh, the guitar in our time is really the electric guitar. Classical guitar is a marvelous sound. I do enjoy it, but it does seem a trifle dull. And I was having this exact conversation with Bob Hurwitz, the head of Nonesuch Records, who was formerly the head of ECM Records here in America, where both I and Pat Metheny had recorded. And he said, why don't you do something for Pat? And I said, gee, I think he'd be interested. And he said, I don't know. Why don't I call him? And he hung up the phone. And in 5 minutes, Pat and I were going over the details. So that's how it happened originally.
What interests you in the idea of a soloist playing over pre-recorded tracks of their own music?
Well, I had been approached originally by Ransom Wilson, who said, would you write me a flute concerto? And I said, I'm afraid I won't do that because I don't believe in that form. The idea of a solo instrument against the orchestra is sort of against my musical mentality. My musical mentality likes to write for multiples of the same instruments. For instruments in the orchestra pieces, for instance, there'll be three oboes doing something, and then you'll have three clarinets doing something, and then you'll have three flutes, and then you'll have them all together. Because I write interlocking counterpoint, if you like, and the idea of having similar timbres so that they form this homogeneous web is a central part of what I do. Sometimes you'll have several different instruments going on at the same time, usually do. So when Ransom wanted to do this, I knew I didn't want to do it. After I had sort of sent him packing, I thought to myself, my gosh, here's this flute virtuoso. He wants to play my music. And I called him back and said, would you be, you know, interested in doing a piece where you'd have flute and alto flute and piccolo, and you'd play against it? He said, sure, sounds great. The idea of a soloist playing against themselves also gets into a situation where you have the very essence of Pat Metheny, let's say. He's all over the place, literally. And I hope that Electric Counterpoint is obviously a piece by me, and it's heard that way. And I hope it's also obviously heard as a kind of a portrait of Pat Metheny, just as I think New York's Counterpoint was suited to Dick Stolzman and Vermont Counterpoint to Ransom Wilson.
Describe the instrumentation that you created for Electric Counterpoint.
Well, basically, you've got, I believe it's 10 electric guitars at a maximum playing at one time and two electric basses going on all at the same time. For instance, you'll hear at the opening, you'll hear a series of pulsing chords where basically he laid down one line at a time. And basically laying down one line at a time is what happens in the making of the tape for the piece. When the whole contrapuntal web is built up, then Pat starts playing melodic lines that come out of this contrapuntal web. You hear lots of sub-melodies. It's like looking at an oriental rug and saying, oh, gee, I like that little blue-shaped field just above that what seems like a cluster of stars there. Here he's fishing out melodies that are actually in this contrapuntal web, but that might would not necessarily come to mind as a vivid solo line. He sort of brings them up to the surface of the music.
Sini, as an improviser, feel about playing something in which there's really no room for improvisation?
Well, of course, that was the very idea from the beginning. I mean, Pat knows my music, knows I'm a composer, and I know that he's a jazz musician. And you have a tradition for that in America, particularly Benny Goodman comes to mind, who was in his day one of the great jazz clarinetists, and who ended up playing Béla Bartók's Contrast, which was written with him in mind, and Aaron Copland's Concerto for Clarinet, which was written for him. And so similarly with Pat, this is a piece that's written for a jazz musician who is going to play a piece. No, he doesn't improvise at all. Why use a jazz musician if he doesn't improvise at all? Because the way he plays the piece, the feeling of the piece, you would be very hard-pressed to get, or if not impossible, to get out of a classical player. The looseness, the rhythmic flexibility, the sense of almost, I almost hear it as if he's talking a language, which we don't know what it is, but it's something that he speaks with the guitar.
You know, I've been listening to your music for a fairly long time, and I'm always just amazed at how your music changes. And how those changes have a real logic to them, that your music never seems to deny what went before. It always builds on it and then find some brand new step to take a tune next. And I guess I'm wondering if those kinds of changes come naturally or if you sit down and think it is time for a next step, time for a change.
No, you were right the first time. They happen. I'll tell you what actually happened. It was pretty clear. I was working on a piece called The Four Sections, which was, I would say, the last of a series of orchestra pieces that began, if you like, with variations for wind, strings, and keyboards back in 1979. So between 1979 and, let's say, 1987, I was really interested in the symphony orchestra and traditional ensembles. And when I finished The Four Sections, which I think is a very successful orchestra piece, probably the most successful piece for orchestra alone without chorus that I've done, I also felt basta, enough. I think I was reacting to the sociology of the orchestra, the fact that musicians there, let's say, don't have the kind of intense interest in what I'm doing that, let's say, my own musicians in my own ensemble have, or Kronos might have, or Pat Metheny might have, or the Ensemble Intercontemporain might have in Paris and groups like that in Europe. I think I was reacting to the fact that rehearsal time is extremely limited in the orchestra and you can't really get into the details the way I really feel you must do. And I think I was feeling enough of writing for that sociology and that world. I really have to get back to doing what it is that I did when I was younger, what it is that I feel concerns the players that are going to do this music as intensely as it concerns me as a composer.
Is there always music going through your mind, and do you ever want to try to turn it off?
No, it is not always going through my mind, and I don't usually want to turn it off, but what generally happens is that whatever I've been working on most recently sort of gets stuck there later that day and that night, and sometimes I want it to continue further than it does.
I thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.